Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hawkinsmith here with our weekly guest, Lions 247 writer Tyler Donahue joins us to talk about some football. Finally, Tyler.
Yeah, it's the real deal. We can stop speculating and pontificating, and we can actually have some evidence coming up this Saturday in Beaver Stadium and across college football. I'm just as excited as you are, trust me.
Are you more excited? I mean, there was a point in the summer where you weren't sure if you were going to be a part of it or not, and now you are. I'm sure there's a little bit of gratitude, so to speak, there that you're here. You know, you're here. Your future's locked down. You're part of the Lions 247 network, which is awesome, and you've been doing a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And yeah, I mean, I figured I'd probably for this upcoming weekend, but able to stick around with Penn State, where I've gotten a good grasp on the team, and to get a chance to see these recruits turn into Penn State players before our eyes on Saturday. It's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to everything.
So for this game, you know, I haven't caught what the opening line is now, and I think that the win and loss thing, that dynamic is in play because Appalachian State is a scary football team historically and really just as recent as last season. They have proven that they can go into your home stadium and they can give you a game. So I think that that's not to be taken for granted. But how would you look at this first weekend as successful for Penn State? What kind of stuff do you want to see in this first game?
Yeah, well, I, by the way, I think the line is somewhere just a tad over three touchdowns, at least when I saw it. But I think ultimately what you want to look for in this game is for Penn State is, at a few of these positions, I think definitely defensive line, considering, you know, the retirement of Ryan Buchholz, which a lot of people didn't expect. I mean, we've seen Shane Simmons in a walking boot, you know, during latter stages of the camp. Are these young defensive linemen, PJ Musta for Fred Hanser, Shaka Tony, are some of these guys going to be ready to step up and become glue guys up front because you want that stability? We'll be watching that closely. Appalachian State is really going to probably have an emphasis on the ground game early and often, you would imagine, to try to keep Penn State at bay. And then obviously I think we're all curious, will the train move, you know, pretty steadily on offense? Ricky Ronnie, we know he took over the reins for play calling in the Fiesta Bowl against Washington. The outcome there was excellent. He's had an offseason to work with things, but now, a lot of people were big believers in Joe Moorhead, so I think it would go a long way if Penn State's offense could come out and not to have too many hiccups, be able to put up a lot of points. I think that would put some people at ease.
How about the usage of the running backs and the success of the running backs? What would how far would a big day from Miles Sanders, for example, go towards, you know, people feeling good about what they've got going on there? I think on paper it's easy to, but I still think that a lot of Penn State fans are waiting to see it before they believe it.
Yeah, no, he certainly has shown flashes, you know, coming in later in games, spelling Saquon Barkley at different times the past couple of years. But I think people would really love to see the whole package, see Miles Sanders touch the ball, you know, 15, 20 times in the first three quarters, you know, bust a few big plays, break some tackles, show off his ability to catch the ball. That's something he's really focused in on this offseason because that was a huge part of Barkley's game. I think ultimately if he goes out there, he's going to have a chance to put himself very quickly in a national spotlight because there is a lot of intrigue around Miles Sanders being a former number one running back prospect, trying to fill the shoes of this legendary figure in Happy Valley. So I think it would do a lot to take some of that early pressure off his shoulders if he can go out there, put together a complete game, and really be pointed to as one of the key forces of why Penn State played so well.
So Greg and I have talked about this dynamic a couple times this week already, but Jahan Dotson doing what he's done in training camp and being the touchdown king as they put out this past weekend, I think there's something to read there. There's meaning in him leading the team in touchdowns in training camp, but I don't know how it all works. You know, there's so many bodies at wide receiver. What do you see here and what are you looking for in the first weekend to try to get some kind of clue as to a pecking order of some kind out there?
Yeah, well, this is where we've speculated probably as much as any other position because you've got Juwan Johnson, DeAndre Tompkins, and then how does the rest shape up? You know, Brandon Polk's a guy who's been, you know, working to put himself in a position to be the veteran who steps up and gets these reps, but there's six guys who have 4 years of collegiate eligibility entering this season. Three redshirt freshmen, three true freshmen. I think it would be shocking if we don't see KJ Hamler be out there quite a bit. There's just been too much, said about him by the staff, praising him and praising his offseason. Matt Kippenhammer in there as well. But yeah, it's becoming very apparent that Jahan Dotson is going to be a day one factor in this receiver rotation. I think the way that James Franklin has made it a point to focus in on him very early during training camp, and now here at the conclusion of it, you see Ricky Ronnie, putting out this touchdown king thing. They're not ducking away from developing expectations for Jahan Dotson. That tells me that the Penn State staff themselves has those expectations. The wild card here is how impactful can Justin Shorter be early in his college career. He was such a complete wide receiver prospect, really sharp young man mentally coming out of high school. I don't think much of that has changed. Just a matter of, did he stay healthy enough through training camp? And, is he there where he needs to be when it comes to the playbook? We're going to see a lot of first-time receptions in this game, in my opinion.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and by GoPSURV.com. We've talked about it a few times here on this show. Open house this weekend for the Appalachian State game. They're doing RVs for half price. Also going to be some 409 Tailgate Club barbecue, some tailgate wine, Labatt Blue beer as well. Check them out at GoPSURV.com. Talking about positions, Tyler, that we've speculated about, the tight end position is still one that I don't even think it's requiring speculation at this point. James Franklin has said they're going to go probably four deep. What do you see unfolding as far as a pecking order, a rotation, however you want, a snap breakdown, however you want to call it for week one, and then maybe the evolution of that spot? Do you see Danny Dalton, who's getting a little bit more praise towards the end of camp, do you see him really making a move maybe sooner than later?
And consistency has really pushed him, it seems, up that depth chart, or at least into that mix. I don't know if this podcast will publish or before or after the depth chart is released by Penn State, but I do anticipate that that's a spot where we might see a few ors. We might see, Danny Dalton or Jonathan Holland or Nick Bowers. And for the first time, while Franklin was, saying that Danny Dalton has been the most consistent player there and has given himself a chance, it was the first time where he mentioned Pat Freiermuth as truly being a factor in this tight end battle. So Freiermuth was one of the two top 10 tight ends they signed in the 2018 class. He was considered more college ready than Zach Kuntz, although Zach Kuntz at 6'7", about as intriguing as anyone on this offense. But interesting to hear Pat Freiermuth could make a push here as things, I think if he's able to come out and do some nice things in September, he could stake claim to an expanded role as we get deeper into the season, especially if those fourth-year guys, Nick Bowers, Jonathan Holland, don't show that they're ready to take this on or aren't healthy to the point where they can. But I think at this point, Danny Dalton has a lot of opportunity against Appalachian State to kind of, build that trust further with the coaching staff, with Trace McSorley. And he's no slouch. He was the Gatorade Massachusetts High School Player of the Year coming out of high school, four-star prospect himself. So big opportunity for Dalton, it would seem, here early against Appalachian.
Yeah, I think Dalton, I think when a kid commits and he's a talented player and he's playing a position that often takes time to develop, I think fans get antsy and restless about him anyway. I think hearing very little about a player is often treated as an indictment, and I would use Danny Dalton as a really good example of that, is that playing tight end at this level, especially a lot of tight ends really don't get a well-rounded set of responsibilities when they're in high school. I think he's a good example of just remaining patient and letting development take its course.
Exactly, and I'm with you on that, and I also think the fact that Mike Gesicki played 82% of reps at tight end last year, there just hasn't been a lot of light shed on anyone else. I mean, Dalton has not seen game action, but even with Miles Sanders, we saw spots where he played in these games, and we saw him do some things on kickoff return, and that just isn't necessarily the case on tight end. It's kind of a mystery box on this roster as you look towards what we do know and what we don't know heading into the season.
Hey, earlier this week, we got a question from a listener asking who they thought the best recruiter was as a head coach in the country. Where do you put James Franklin in that conversation, in that dialogue? We talked about the nuance of it, how the different types of prospects would maybe gravitate towards a different guy. But is James Franklin, in that clear-cut elite Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, Dabo Sweeney conversation?
He's certainly making a push. first top five recruiting class. That's a nice thing that, you know, feather in his cap. But, you know, these guys have done it for a very long time. I think Saban has signed a top three recruiting class for like the last, you know, 10 years at this point. Urban Meyer's done it dating back to his earliest days at Florida. I think the biggest thing maybe you can make a case for is that James Franklin is the ace recruiter of head coaches who have not yet won a national championship. You could maybe put Lincoln Riley in that conversation. He just took Oklahoma to the playoff last year. But I think, you know, Dabo Sweeney, Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, they've been able to get a lot done, especially lately, because they can show up the hardware. They've also got, you know, in some cases, some of these facilities help. But I think in terms of personality and connecting with family members, connecting with mom and dad, I think Penn State's really set themselves apart from a lot of programs. You know, I think recruits are very cognizant of what's real and what's fake, especially if they're getting input from a good support system. You know, social media can kind of cloud the judgment a little bit, but I think Penn State has done a nice job selling itself and proving itself to be a transparent recruiting department, and that starts with the leadership of James Franklin. So I think they've done a really nice job casting a wide net across the country and, you know, chipping away at some of these situations and really becoming contenders in recruitments that, you know, a couple of years ago, quite frankly, that door probably wasn't open for them.
Let me ask you a couple of quick questions. We've got about a minute or so here. Who do you just have this feeling about on Penn State's team as maybe sitting on a monster season, a breakout season of some kind, but who's going to have a big year?
Oh, man. I certainly could see P.J. Mustafa just bulldozing his way to just a monster freshman season that makes him kind of a face in the trenches for this team. And then on offense, you know, I think I could also see go with another true freshman. I could see Ricky Slade, you know, just making enough big plays to get people really excited for what he can be in the future and enough big plays to put him in a spot where Penn State may be relying on him to make those kind of game-changing, long-distance plays late in the season to help them get separation in a crowded Big Ten East. So I'll go two freshmen, Ricky Slade, P.J. Mustafa.
I like it. If those scenarios unfold, that goes a long way towards answering some questions here. And then maybe just one of the – what was the biggest surprise you come out of camp?
I think I go Jahan Dotson. You know, out of those six young receivers that we've mentioned, you know, he wouldn't necessarily have been on the top or maybe in the top half of that list on guys who I thought would be coming out of camp, getting the bulk of praise. And there he is. You know, he's probably been the talk of camp at wide receiver. So kudos to him. And that shows he's made a lot of progression. And it also shows he should be in action against Appalachian State in his Beaver Stadium debut.
There you go. Tyler Donnie from Lions 247 giving us all the latest on Penn State news. You can check him out at Lions247.com. Thanks, Tyler. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right, you too, buddy. Well, we're moving on here. One more segment to go, looking at Big Ten superlatives, making our picks for Big Ten Player of the Year and Big Ten Champ coming up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.